All right, guys, welcome to the Campus Fellowship Podcast. This is a podcast interview where we're going to highlight for you a student and their testimony that we think will be a blessing and an encouragement to your life to help you just grow in your knowledge of the Lord and of Christ. And so I'm Jake. I'm the executive director for the Campus Fellowship Network. And our network, we serve to equip local churches to implement and sustain dynamic college ministries whose students worship God and change the world. So we got Mel here, who's running a lot of the video and media for Campus Fellowship. You'll see her at conferences. So say hi to her if you ever are out there and at the Faith, Fall Conference or Winter Retreat. She loves to interact with students. And also with us today is Trevor Julga from Drake University. How's it going, Trevor?
It's going great. Early awesome. Morning, but I'm glad to be here.
Good, good. Now, Trevor, you did something kind of unique with your summer. I saw you where you were, but why don't you kind of share with people, what did you do with your summer that was kind of just pretty, a little crazy?
Absolutely. So I had the opportunity to go on a mission trip to Providence, Rhode Island. The purpose of me going there was I was with a team of five other college students, and the goal was we were given an area about a 10 block by 10 block area in Providence that held businesses, restaurants, neighborhoods, both Brown University and Rhode Island School of Design, which is another university. And the goal of our time there was to figure out the culture, both spiritual and socially, as well as just everything physical about the place. The purpose of actually doing that is because to actually effectively share the gospel, to actually effectively reach people that are there, you need to understand the context and the culture of the people there. Mm-hmm. And the people that are at Sacred City Church, which is the church we worked through over the summer in Providence, they all have families, full-time jobs. They're all real adults. They don't have all the time in the world to go out and figure this out year after year just to not really be able to reach the people because there's cultural barriers. Mm-hmm. So we were able to jumpstart that by learning everything, and then by the end of the 8 weeks of the summer, we were able to give a presentation about everything that we learned so mm-hmm. the church could actively reach that area soon.
Yeah. So it's like Sacred City is a new church plant, fairly new, and mm-hmm. it's like an 8 week in-depth figure out a mission, how do you reach people in a certain area? It's like figure out a business model, almost like an entrepreneurship type thing, and you're really just kind of pioneering things out there, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah, we were not given much advice. A lot of the advice we were given was figure it out.
which is
really great because part of it was being a missions training program, mm-hmm. which is if you're a missionary, nobody's necessarily telling you how to do it. It's kind of up to you to figure that out and go one step by one step following the Lord.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what we had to do without necessarily knowing exactly what to do. We were had a lot of autonomy in that, which was awesome.
I think if most of us took a job somewhere and day one on the job was figure it out, most people would be like, what? You know, but that's really neat that you're able to do that. And we ran into each other because me and my wife, we were taking a vacation in Providence, both to see friends, go to a little conference we were interested in. But did you get like see any of the sites in the area, or were you like just Providence mission trip, here's what we got?
Yeah, there was a couple times where we got to see some sites.
Okay.
There's a good park that we were able to watch some sunsets a couple of times. Okay. We also went
to Did you go to Dunn Brothers?
Dunn
is the coffee shop, but yeah. Dunn Brothers, yes. Yeah.
Went there twice. Food is amazing.
Oh, yeah. Wonderful fish sandwiches. Oh. Okay. Yes. We should get into some things, though.
Sounds good.
So you're here to share your story, how you came to know Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe just walk us through, like, what was your life like before you knew Christ? I don't know if that's, like, middle school, high school, a little bit of college. What was your life like?
Yeah, so I became a Christian less than 2 years ago. I'm now 21 years old. So I became a Christian somewhere in my sophomore year of college. So all the time up until that point, I didn't have Christ. Mm-hmm. And the way that it felt was like a puzzle piece, a big puzzle with pieces missing. Oh. And through that, I tried to find those puzzle pieces through social media, dating, sports, good grades, a lot of the things mm-hmm. that people say.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say
what sports did you play?
I did cross country. I did track. I did trap shooting and a lot of other extracurriculars.
Trap shooting?
Yep. Trap shooting is my main sport.
Oh, wow. Okay. Sweet.
Ton of fun.
Good to know.
Yeah. And I know that a lot of people have similar testimonies about trying to go into these different gifts that God has given us and trying to find life in them when the scriptures are very clear that there is no life in those. Mm-hmm. It is only life in God. But in my situation, I really did have a lot of things, and it's not like I was depressed or anxious. I wasn't absolutely in the dumps, right? Mm-hmm. And if you don't have Christ, it's not like you're going to be absolutely riddled with just bad thoughts and things like that. Mm-hmm. But I had a wealthy family, vacations all the time to extravagant places. Mm-hmm. I had perfect grades, always a, quote, goody-two-shoes student.
Yeah.
Was able to always make friends, have girlfriends, mm-hmm. good grades, good sports, whatever it might be. And again, it's not like I was depressed or anxious. So mm-hmm. there was a little draw to find something more. But I still knew in my heart that there was something that was kind of missing. But the world would tell me that, well, you've got everything you kind of want. You've got everything you could ever desire. The thing that's missing is just, you know, life's not perfect. And that's okay. Which is, I think, something very clear nowadays. Mm-hmm. Where if people just go at life thinking, well, it's not going to be perfect, which is true, then these things that are supposed to draw me closer to God and these experiences that are supposed to draw me closer to God won't actually do so because they've got other excuses in mind of, well, this is why it is. And that's just not true.
Okay. So maybe tell me, like, as you are, you know, trying to fit the puzzle pieces together, like, what would it, you know, what did it look like to just kind of be trying, like, is this really what life is about? Is this really what life is about? Was it really just kind of hopping between the thing and thing? Were there ever any, like, moments in high school where you're, like, you know, frustrated or, like, what is this? Is this really worth it? You know, I don't know. What was that like?
Yeah, absolutely. Everything that I tried felt like it gave life initially. And I would also say the scriptures are clear about that too.
So you like try something new, you know, and it's like good for a little bit.
Exactly.
Okay.
It's got that rush, whatever it might be, whether it's a couple seconds or a couple of weeks or a couple months, it feels completely fulfilling when I absolutely put my entire life into it. Mm-hmm. And that would make sense with sin too. Sin does feel good. That's one of the reasons why we're so tempted by it. Mm-hmm. But as, you know, as the temptations would go, you know, greater, there was always something more to be had. So whether it was a couple seconds in whatever I was doing or a couple weeks or a couple months, after that time frame, I would be back in the same position as before, kind of looking for something a little bit more. I was never fully satisfied, just satisfied enough to be okay in life.
Yeah.
And then I would either pick up more on that particular thing or find something new.
Yeah. What did you think about sin? Like, how did you process, like, the bad things you did?
Yeah. So one of the things I forgot to mention was I grew up in the church.
Okay.
I grew up as a Lutheran and went to church just about every single Sunday, even in college before I became a Christian.
Yeah.
Lots of it was to justify the things I was doing. Mm. But I did have a good understanding of the Bible, the stories that it taught, Jesus, as well as sin. So in my mind, I also spent a lot of time in high school avoiding things that the Bible said were wrong, that my morality said were wrong. And through that, I really felt like I didn't need anything more because I'm trying to stay away from these things that all these other kids are doing. Mm-hmm. But I did have a very real understanding that I was not perfect. And if God is out there, I am sinning against him. I just didn't care.
Mm, yeah, I see. So 2 years ago, you're what, a sophomore in college? You know, tell us, how did you come to know Jesus? Like, maybe even there, I don't know, were there things freshman year where you started engaging with people who were walking with the Lord? Or how did you come to know Christ? Tell us. Yeah, like, I want
to
hear.
For sure. Freshman year, to answer your question, no, I was not really engaging with anybody that was trying to walk with Christ. Yeah, yeah. I was completely doing my own thing. But I was invited to campus fellowship stuff a lot. I just always said no.
Okay.
But that freshman year, thought I had everything, girlfriend grades. I was part of a frat, so I had social aspects if I wanted, all the good stuff, good grades. I was passing my actuarial science tests. Mm-hmm. And everything seemed on the up and up, except, again, nothing was very fulfilling. Mm-hmm. Summer comes after my freshman year. Girlfriend and I break up. A couple of my friends are transferring out of Drake. I didn't really want to be part of the fraternity anymore. I was having some issues back at home. I was in a job I didn't really like. And every week during that summer, I just kind of felt like I was knocked down and kicked by life over and over and over again. It just wasn't a fun experience. Many, many people deal with stuff that is worse than that. I'm not trying to say that my life sucked at any point. It was just, in my perspective, it was pretty rough. Mm-hmm. So, miraculously, I go, well, I call myself a Christian. This was near the end of the summer. I call myself a Christian. If I open up the Bible and I read it, God's supposed to make all this go away. Terrible mentality to have. It's not how it works.
But it got you to open up your Bible.
But it got me to open up my Bible. Couldn't tell you what I read, but I do know one thing for sure. I just read the words, closed it. 5 minutes later, I'm like, all right, I did the thing, right? And miraculously, I did feel a lot of relief.
Okay.
For whatever reason, God was truly decided to use that as, yeah, I'm going to show you that I am more powerful than you. And even in your sin of reading the Bible and doing it incorrectly, I'm still going to show you that I am here for you.
Mm-hmm. And like with false motives, just make me all better. Like
exactly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I had so much relief. And I'm like, wow, this is spectacular. I got to join Campus Fellowship. I was convinced. I'm like, I know Campus Fellowship exists on campus. I'm going to join it. Like, this has to be a thing, right?
Okay. Yeah.
And through that, I joined Campus Fellowship, started coming around at the beginning of my sophomore year.
Okay. And so, like, tell me, like, when, like, becoming a Christian, like, was it that moment? Like, how did you process, like, your, was it, like, something after that? Or, like, you know, turning from sin, embracing Christ and his death on the cross as your only way of knowing God? What, how did that process through in your life?
Absolutely. Unfortunately, or fortunately, I do not have a very clear, this is kind of when it happened. It definitely was not at the beginning of the year. It definitely was not in the summer.
Yeah.
And a lot of that is because growing up in the church, I already knew a lot of these things. I already had thoughts on a lot of the questions that people would ask me and could already answer some of the things, even if I didn't necessarily believe it. I was also have, and still do, always struggle with pride and self-righteousness. Being able to say, well, I was never as bad as these people, right? Look at me, I'm a young Christian. What other college student is doing what I'm doing and trying to follow the Lord? Really nobody, right? So I was able to tell myself all these things, and especially knowing the story of Jesus before getting to college, when it really clicked for me of, I am a sinner, Jesus came as a human to bear my sins and die on the cross for me so that I could be saved. And it really has nothing to do with me. I'm saved completely by him. I couldn't really tell you when that full realization happened. Yeah. It was definitely before the summer of my sophomore year.
Okay.
But it definitely could have been in the second semester, even after spending a full semester with Campus Fellowship trying to follow the Lord.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's really important that people understand that, like, some people, conversion, you know, being born again, going from death to life is like, I grew up in this non-Christian home, had no understanding of who Jesus was. If he asked me who Jonah was, I'd be like, I have no idea. I don't know anything maybe about the Bible. But when they hear Christ, when they hear the gospel, it's so revolutionary. They're like, yes. And they turn from their sin, they embrace him. You know, even some people in the church, like, can know the moment when they were saved, but that's not everyone's story, you know, and that doesn't need to be everyone's story. And I think when we exalt probably like dramatic conversion stories, we dishonor the work that God is doing maybe in our own lives of how, yeah, he's just changing us step by step. And so I think I'm just really encouraged to hear, like, yeah, it's okay to say, like, I don't know the moment when I was saved, but I know I am. You know, what were some like passages or verses like in that transformative period of your life, you know, going from that summer to like, you know, Were there any passes that really stuck out to you?
To be completely honest, no.
Okay.
And I think that that's completely fine, but that's not necessarily the thing that drew me in.
Yeah.
It was definitely the community aspect.
Okay.
Brian cool. Etzenhauser is the guy that mentors and disciples me.
Yeah, yeah.
Going with the very first Bible study, there was this guy who started talking to me on our walk over to the house, and he said, oh, you know, who are you and why are you here? Oh, and kindly. That makes it sound weird, but...
yeah, yeah. He was who are you? Why are you here?
Exactly. and he just got to know me, and I was like, all right, cool. This college student's talking to me. Later, I figured out he's not even in college anymore. He's yeah. just hanging out with us.
Yeah, yeah.
He asked me to get lunch with him, like, a day later, and I did. He went through his testimony and talked about really his life a lot in depth. And I didn't even know his last name. I didn't know anything about this guy. But it was so clear to me that he loved me, and I couldn't explain why. And mm-hmm. I think that was very much so with all the other people in Campus Fellowship. I was loved like no other by people that didn't even know who I was, and I didn't know them either.
Mm.
Versus the people that I've grown up with, I could not tell you that they showed me the same amount of love even now. So was there specific passages or verses? No. But
yeah,
I guess I can pull up the... I think it's John 35:15 or maybe 15:35 that says, they will know that you're my disciples by the love that you have for one another.
Mm-hmm.
And although I didn't necessarily know that at the time, one of the reasons that I was able to pursue the Lord is the Lord using the community that surrounded me for his glory.
Yeah, that's really cool. So walk us through then after that, like, how has God changed your life since that summer?
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah. For a very, very long time, even probably after becoming a Christian, reading the Bible, praying was all more of a chore.
Mm.
And I think it's good to mention that sometimes it's going to feel that way, even if you're an established Christian. A lot of people I've had conversations with think that if you don't actively want to read the Bible with all your heart and soul, then it's kind of not worth it and you're doing something wrong. And that's not the case. Everybody's riddled with sin. This is something we need to fight each and every day, especially as you're a new Christian and your sin is a lot more prevalent in you.
Mm-hmm.
Reading the Bible can sometimes be a chore, and that's just kind of a barrier that you slowly need to get through.
Mm-hmm.
So at the beginning of my time as being a Christian or just about to be saved, reading the Bible was very much a chore. I didn't really want to do it, but I was doing it for the, I know people are going to ask me what I'm reading. These are my, you know, who I call friends in Campus Fellowship. Mm-hmm. They're all reading, you know, I want to be like them.
Mm-hmm.
But I did really, really love going to midweek and Bible study in church. Mm-hmm. But also those were community aspects as well.
Mm-hmm.
I would say now reading the Bible is just something that I need to do daily. It's just one of the highlights of my day. I learned so much. Same with prayer. I've recently started to memorize different verses, ones that are applicable to my life. And one of those verses is Psalm 119:11, which is, I have treasured your word in my heart so that I might not sin against you. Mm-hmm. And I think that's applies to all the verses. The word of God has immense power, right?
Yeah.
It's not just these logical, religious arguments for life.
Mm-hmm.
So if I store up the word of God, the actual word of God in my heart, it has done miraculous things in my life and has changed me for the better.
Mm-hmm.
But throughout that entire process of the last two-ish years, 1.5 years, it's been just a roller coaster. But it's cool because every couple of months I look back and I'm like, I grew so much.
Mm-hmm.
I never would have thought I would grow so much.
Yeah.
Oh, I feel so established and so knowledgeable now, which is not the case.
Yeah, yeah.
But in 6 months, wow, I grew so much. And then the trip to Providence, Rhode Island, wow, I grew so much. And it's like there's no ceiling.
Yeah.
I'm just always, always becoming more and more sanctified and really continually see the love of Jesus more and more each and every day.
You know, as you're talking, it reminds me of the beginning of the Gospel of John.
Mm-hmm.
Where it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then you skipped ahead, you know, in John's introduction to verse 14, it says, and that word became flesh and dwelt among us. And I think it's like for those who know Jesus, it's like the word of God becomes so much sweeter because reading the Bible isn't just about reading a textbook. It's not just about It's not like reading an encyclopedia of facts or stories or things like that. But like we get to see the Son of God revealed in the Word of God. Mm-hmm. And to hear about like that, you know, how transformation of like reading the Bible in your life went from a chore to a joy. It's like, to me, that just speaks volumes of like, yeah, like, because now it's about seeing Jesus mm-hmm. in on every page of Scripture, you know. And I don't know if, you know, I know every quiet time is not as like, whoa, yeah. awesome. This is, you know, sometimes it's harder, like, oh, Lord, what are you teaching me? But yeah. So I commend you, and I think that that's really, really cool. So what are you reading right now?
Yeah, so I'm going through a couple different things.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The three books I'm going through right now is Judges, Proverbs, and Matthew.
Okay.
The reason I've got those is because Judges, you got to go, I'm going through the whole Bible at some mm-hmm. point. Judges just happens to be one of the Old Testament books I'm on right now.
Yep.
But especially with the Old Testament, sometimes it's hard to just really read that day in, day out. Mm-hmm. I like to kind of float in some of the New Testament. That's a lot more clearer mm-hmm. to Jesus,
yep.
Just to kind of break some cycles if I get a little annoyed with reading Judges over and over again.
Yep.
So that's why there's Matthew. And Proverbs, similar to Psalms, do it every once in a while. Doesn't make a lot of sense to me to just go through all of Psalms or all of Proverbs mm-hmm. at one time. So I'm just sprinkling in Proverbs every once in a while as well.
That's good. That's good. Sweet. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Trevor.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, thanks for spending time with us. And as you are getting ready for campus fellowship at Drake University,
mm-hmm.
Just one last question. Do you know what community group you're going to be in? Or yes, campus I do. Group?
Yes.
Yeah, who's campus group? What's that like?
Yeah, so I'm a leader, and the four other leaders are Carson Roanhorst, Leah Fox, Madison Bryden, and Lily Roanhorst. We've got a good group of guys and girls that will be in our Bible study with us. I'm just so excited for this year.
That's cool. Great. Well, if you're listening to the podcast, thank you so much for hearing Trevor's testimony, and hope that it spurs you on towards love and good deeds on your campus. And we'd highly encourage you to get involved in a campus group soon.
Absolutely. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.